This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Are you ready?
Yeah, what is this super unpopular take you're talking about?
Well, I actually want to I want to give you an appetizer first.
Okay.
Especially since Lucas just played a little clip there.
Of JJ.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Uh-huh.
Lightning rod that he is this year in Bay Area sports.
He's the center of the offseason.
The appetizer to this take is that I hope Jonathan Kuminga is still on the team next year.
Okay.
I hope Jonathan Kuminga is still on the team this year. I don't even know what's necessarily going to be out there in sign and trade possibilities. I don't know exactly what the Warriors really, 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 really think. You know what I mean? I think I know what they think, maybe even more so than what Steve Kerr and others say to us coming on the show all the time. But I don't know what they really, really, really think. Like, are they in the back hallways? Like, we gotta move on, man. We gotta get out of here. Or is Joe Lacob in the back, like, sitting everybody down in chairs and being like, if you all want jobs next year, then Jonathan Kuminga's on the damn team. Thanks for being here. Have a nice night. I don't know where that whole thing stands. But here's kind of, and so that could go a few different ways, and I'm not going to be like emotionally bent about that. But here's kind of where I'm going. I don't think there is, nor should there, be a big trade out there for the Warriors this offseason. .. I don't want Giannis on this team.
Whoa. You don't want Giannis?
Let me explain.
MVP finalist?
Let me
He was kind of buried in Milwaukee this year because they had a whole lot of other issues. He was incredible this year.
Giannis is one of the best players in the world.
Amazing.
He's one of the best players in the world.
You don't want him? Oh, my God.
Let me explain.
Okay. Explain.
In a perfect world, I would want Giannis on the Warriors.
But we're dealing in reality, huh?
But this isn't a perfect world. And I think if all of us, I'm not going to say all of you, because I'm going to group myself with you, because I've spent the last 3 weeks since Shams was like, yep, he's going to explore. He's looking. And I'm like, oh, man, if there's any way. The Warriors could get their hands on Giannis. Quite frankly, any team. He is literally one of those players where it's like when LeBron was a free agent. If he points at you, just say yes and figure out the rest later. That's who I think Giannis Antetokounmpo is. That's what I think of Giannis. However, this is not a perfect world. And if we actually run this out, in other words, play it out and tell me what it would look like. Because I also know none of you want to give up Steph. Okay? And if you do say, well, what about Butler? Mark, would you give up Butler for Giannis? Well, duh. Of course. What will Milwaukee ask of you when you say Butler for Giannis? They make exactly the same salary to the dollar. So it's an even swap. What do you think Milwaukee wants to sweeten the pot?
A bunch of picks?
All of them. All of the picks.
And you don't want to do that, huh?
Well, Steve Kerr spoke on this very recently. It was on Tolbert's YouTube page. And I want everybody to hear this because this struck me. And it brought me to a place of like, oh, yeah, I want to do that, but that doesn't work. Like, ask me if I want to live on Kawhi.
You want to live on Kawhi?
Well, yeah, in theory. But, perfect. I do.
But,
that doesn't work. I have children in school. I have a job. And I don't like doing it on Zoom. I don't think that's fun. I have a wife-to-be. She probably would be fine with it. Her dad lives there. Like, I have parents who are aging. I don't want to go get island fever where just a handful of years ago they got a Costco and that was like a big deal. You know what I mean? Like, life is still kind of in 1991 on Kawhi, which is wonderful.
You can say it might be better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I could leave Twitter and Instagram here on the mainland. But like, that's not, it doesn't fit what I'm doing. So yes, I think of all the places I've been so far in my life, Kawhi is the best. That is where I am, absolutely the most relaxed version of myself. So, Mark, do you want to live there? Yeah, but no. No, because in this moment of my life, that does not work. And so I feel the exact same way about Giannis and the Warriors. There's a lot to discuss here, and we would love to hear from you. 888-957-9570 is the number. Listen to what Steve Kerr said here. This is on Tolbert's show. And talking about the lay of the land right now for the Golden State Warriors and the way they plan to attack the next couple of years, also known as the rest of Steph Curry's career.
I think the Jimmy trade was a clear indication that we're going for it the next couple of years. You know, they gave Jimmy the extension. His contract lines up with Draymond's and Steph's. They each have 2 years remaining. Jimmy is one of the best players in the league. We instantly became one of the best teams in the league when he got here. Yeah, we're going for it these next 2 years. We're not in a position because, you know, Steph's 37, Jimmy 36, Draymond 35. And it's not my job, it's Mike's job to determine all this stuff. But can you imagine trading away your next like seven drafts, you know, with a team of, you know, built around three guys who were 36, 37? Yep. Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? So I think what we're doing makes sense. Like, we got Jimmy. I think finding, you know, another cornerstone next to Steph for these last couple of years was crucial. That's the hard part. And these last couple of years have shown that, you know, it's been really hard, you know, after we won our title in 22. Last couple of years have been tough. We needed somebody like Jimmy. Well, we got him now. He's still really good. I think we're set up to go for it the next 2 years, but yeah, you don't give up, you know, four firsts and three swaps and not when your guys are 37. So
yeah,
I think that's how we're operating. That's how Mike is operating. I think he's fantastic at his job. And my job is to, you know, coach the team and see what we can do.
So I'm kind of sorry for everybody who loves drama, like TNT. Like, if you listen
we
to
know
that,
drama.
I can tell you right now, there ain't no damn big deal this offseason. There just isn't. Philosophically, they're against it. And he makes what I think is an inarguable point, which is that it is beyond stupid, even though I said this yesterday and I still stand on it, which is I am much more focused on right now, these next two seasons, than I am about anything that's going to happen after that. That said, to completely empty your holster while the core of your team has all had their 35th birthday, it's organizational suicide. It would be the stupidest possible thing that they could do because they would be dead for a decade or more if they do it. And by the way, Giannis would be pissed. Like, what the hell is here for him to come play with Steph for 2 years and then everyone's looking at him like, all right, dude, like, you're the team. And we have no picks and we have no players and we have no coach. We have nothing. But Fun Arena, we got a lot of fans. They really love it here. You're it. You're the only player on the team. Let's go. Let's build something. It would be suicide for Giannis.
Well, then you just trade Giannis once Steph hangs it up.
I mean,
you get a championship. You trade away all your picks to get Giannis. Then in a couple of years after you win a championship, you trade Giannis away somewhere else and you replenish your draft picks. Then you're all good to go with another championship in hand.
What a great pitch to Giannis. Come on out here.
Win a championship.
Be a total hired gun. We're going to put 37-year-old Steph Curry right next to you.
Still amazing.
Still amazing. Hamstring totally broke down at the wrong time. Draymond Green is going to be right next to you. Probably yell at you at some practices. The rest of the supporting cast is ay-ay-ay. But, you know, there's Kuminga over here. He needs the ball. And a year and a half from now, we will commence trade conversations for you again.
So you can go win another championship somewhere else.
And send you out again as you start to move into your mid-30s.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Like this, that's all I'm saying. All of the things that all of us think about when you think of Giannis, I agree with you. But it doesn't work. It's functionally not workable.
Let me ask you this, and all the callers also, 888-957-9570. What would another championship with Steph in this era be worth for you? Like, if you could guarantee that trading away X amount of picks and whatever players gives you another championship, like, how much would you be willing to part with?
Well,
if you guaranteed Steph's fifth championship at some point the next 2, maybe 3 years, be willing to trade, like, 4 picks and 3 pick swaps? Your next 7 picks, don't own any of them unless they turn out more favorable.
In theory, yes, except hang on. Here's where my brain actually goes. It's not a matter of the picks. There's no asset right now, no player on the team that I wouldn't say part with that in exchange for Steph getting another ring. I'd say yes to all of that. But then ask yourself, this is where I go.
Okay.
If you get that fifth ring, are you willing to say the next 12 years of Warrior basketball will be dreck?
12 years is a long time.
That's a long time,
buddy.
But a
fifth championship for Steph would be pretty damn sweet.
You're going to be in your 40s. I'm going to be in my 60s. Generations of children will be like, dude, the Warriors suck. Like, it would be like the Cohen era when I grew up. They sucked. They were terrible. And everybody in this fan base knows it. We've celebrated a team that won one round. They have a nickname, and we make documentaries about them because they won one round in the playoffs. We have Hall of Fame players who had McDonald's hamburgers named after them, but they never, ever won anything in the playoffs. Nothing. Nothing. I think they won 50 games one time. We're handing out burgers to these people. They are Hall of Famers. They are still analysts for the team now. We love them. We love them because the backdrop was the organization was a joke. It was a joke. And fundamental to what I'm saying right now is why I always hate it when people do championship or bust. My goal is not ever championship or bust. It is annual relevance. I want sports in this city to be awesome all the time. I want them to be fun all the time. I want people to want to buy tickets all the time. So if you are asking me, would you trade a fifth title? And if what you have to give up is a decade of relevance, I have got to stop and think about that for a second. Absolutely. That does not sound that fun to me.
I think I'd do it. Fifth championship for Steph in a decade of you're looking at not making the playoffs. I think it becomes a little easier for me when, because the way that I view this is you make a big move and you can always like make the opposite move later. Like I threw out the Giannis trade Giannis again. Now, why would Giannis want to come here in the first place is an entirely different conversation. But if we're living in this fantasy world, we can just go about it for a sec. Just because you make a move to empty your cupboard does not mean that you can't later make a move to replenish some of those picks.
To a degree.
Definitely.
To a degree.
Now, to get all of them back and high value picks back, yeah, probably not. But you can, just because your cupboard is empty at a certain point does not mean it is always going to be empty. I also think the other part of this is, and I just saw this come in on the text line, the 510.
Is it the part where they call me dumb?
No.
Okay.
That one as well.
Yeah.
But the other 510.
Well, and I knew that was coming. And that was very nice of the 510 had a guilt. He or she had a guilt trip. Like he called me dumb and then texted two lines later, Mark, your take is dumb.
Not you. Your take
not
is
you.
Dumb.
Okay. Your take. That was nice of you. I got a little warm fuzzy there. But
thanks
anyway,
to the 510.
Yeah, go ahead.
The other 510, though, and this is how I feel, which I think makes it easier for me to theoretically pull the trigger on something like this, is I'm of the mind, however many picks you got, when Steph hangs it up, you're going to be bad no matter what.
The picks
maybe gives yeah. you a way to avoid being terrible for a lot longer. But let's fast forward 5 years from now. Steph's gone. The Warriors don't trade any of their future picks. You think they're going to make the playoffs that year? I mean, it's impossible to know.
I would vote no.
Probably.
I would vote no. But let me rephrase that text that you just referenced and your take. I want to rephrase it for you. And see if you'll still own it.
Okay.
510 said the next 12 might be bad even if you don't make a big trade, right?
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. I don't trust Joe Lacob.
Whoa. So you
why are you looking at me like that, Lucas? That's what that says.
Go on.
You're telling me that if you think 12 seasons after Steph Curry's gone, you think the Warriors will be bad that entire time. You are telling me, and I'm not, by the way, I'm not ready to fully disagree with you, but you're telling me that this entire thing is a house of cards held together by Steph Curry's greatness. And the second he goes, you have zero belief that this organizational structure will be able to stay relevant or do anything else to be even a decent basketball team once Steph is gone. That, to me, says I don't trust ownership.
Well, I think the Warriors' path to being relevant post-Steph Curry has so much more to do with just being an attractive place to play as opposed to them hitting the lottery in the draft again and finding a Steph and a Klay and a Draymond again.
And I'm with you. And here's how
that would be possible whether or not you have draft picks or not.
Listen, I agree with you. I would not phrase it as I don't trust Joe Lacob. Here's how I will phrase it. And we've talked about this somewhat under our breath because we're still in the Steph Curry window, so it's not terribly relevant. But when Anthony Slater writes that article yesterday about the competing agendas within the Warriors, Kuminga's is one, Steph and Draymond's is another, kind of Steve Kerr also.
Jimmy in there too.
Yep, that's another agenda. And then the organization, ownership, and their agenda. And a lot of people called us and they were like, Curry's agenda and ownership's agenda is the same agenda. I'm like, no, it's not. Because the ownership, and Joe has said this, they believe that they're going to be good always, even after Steph Curry is gone. And my response to that is, I'll believe it when I see it. I'd love to see it. I hope you're right. I do think Joe Lacob runs the risk of underrating how hard this is going to be. I do think that. I'm not saying yet that he can't do it because I have no idea. We've never seen this organization, this group, try to function without Steph. So I hope he's right. I think he might be underrating how hard it is because it's insane. It's very, very, very difficult. If you're not named the Lakers, like if you're competing for free agents like that, it is very, very, very difficult. to sustain success if you don't have at least one or two great players. And where are you going to find them? I don't know. I don't know. But I don't think that the Warriors are, I think they're a very well-run organization. I don't think they're stupid. So I think that through the years, they will continue to make big swings and try to make big moves and try to stay relevant. They might have some wins and some losses there. My point is now is not that time.
When it comes to the competing agendas, I honestly think I'm a little surprised, honestly, at not necessarily there's a complete overlap between ownership and like the win now core, like Steph and Draymond, and you even threw Steve Kerr in there. But I'm surprised that there is as much overlap as there is. I mean, you played what Steve Kerr just mentioned, and he was on the Tom Tolbert show on YouTube, and it was a good conversation, but... And this is something Steve Kerr said prior. Steph Curry said it as well. I remember, I think it was after the loss in Toronto earlier this year. It was like maybe a couple of weeks ahead of the trade deadline. And it was the game before the game in Minnesota where Steph said, all you Twitter fingers, tell us what deals to make. Like, you can just shut up a little bit. But the game before that was Toronto. And it was like a unified message from Steph and from Steve and from Draymond. They all basically said the same thing. For us to mortgage our future would be the most irresponsible thing we could ever do.
And they're right.
And yeah, probably.
They're right.
I'm just a little surprised that it's that group that feels that way, considering 2 years from now, that group might be done.
Well, you should love them even more for that take, because
like they
actually care about the organization.
Which, I mean, it's great, but
yep.
I don't know, from a selfish standpoint, and if I would like to think I would be as selfless as them, but if I was in their situation, I'd say to hell with 5 years from now. Well, do whatever you can to help me right now.
By the way,
while I'm still here.
I think I forgot to do this. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Don't worry, Lucas. It's not your everyday job, so don't need to worry about it. But anyway, point is that, let me take it a step further to what you're saying. Remember when they acquired Jimmy, and Draymond has spoken on what the conversation was like between him and Steph that night in Utah. They lose a horrible, horrible game. There are a lot of tears, apparently, right? Andrew Wiggins is sent out the door, and others, but mainly Wiggins is who we're talking
about. Forget
about
Lindy Waters.
Lindy Waters, too. Kyle Anderson.
Dennis Schroeder.
RIP, as far as your Warriors time. But Draymond said, we sat there and had a moment with each other where we were like, wow, they still believe in us. They still believe in our relevance. That's what the acquisition of Jimmy Butler meant to them. So I don't think the two of them are coming from this place that I think sometimes we think stars are, where it's like, I'm Steph Curry. I demand that you get me my guy. Which is the way a lot of our fans talk. I don't think they think about it that way. They were kind of touched almost. I'm 37 years old, and you went and got me a guy. That's incredible. The teams don't usually do that.
No.
You have to be such an unbelievable epic star for something like that to happen. And so it did. But the larger point to me remains, which is that the age of these players, we always talk about it in terms of injury. We probably should be talking about it more in these terms. The age of these players, why it is so relevant, you don't empty your organization for players who are about to retire. They're like, honestly, like, what would you think of the Lakers right now if they're like, oh, we better start trading Luka because LeBron wants a teammate? You don't.
Well, that's an entirely different situation. Luka's one of the best players in the league.
Okay, but
What
if the Lakers said, let's empty all of our assets going forward? Forget Luka. Luka stays. All of our assets, Austin Reeves, every young player, and draft picks for the next 5 years, because LeBron's about to retire, so we better give him another shot. Wouldn't you think that was stupid?
Trading Reeves, yeah, but Reeves is a player who can help them win right now. Trading picks, sure. The Lakers. You don't need picks. You're going to go and get the best free agent every year anyway.
Maybe.
Yeah, do it.
Okay. I don't think teams do that. You empty the next 5 years for people who are about to retire. And I know no one wants to hear me say that when describing Steph, but I'm sorry, that's the reality.
I know we got to hit a break, but what if I told you I don't think they have to do that to win anyway?
Okay, let's talk about that. And we'd love for you to weigh in. 888-957-9570 is the number. Yes, I love Giannis too, but it doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
You don't love Giannis.
It does not.
He's out on Giannis.
Work. Well, he can't shoot. But anyway, we're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. That's Grandy in for Dibs, Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Just determined to get me aggregated, huh?
Yep. Yep.
You know what my Twitter feed will look like if I answer your questions?
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, the first text on top of the line right now, 408, Mark, you suck for not answering me. And I'm like, oh, okay. You do understand there's just like, I mean, there's hundreds of these texts coming in throughout the show.
Pretty popular.
But it's, it's there at the top of the board, so I see it, but I got to scroll down to figure out what's the text that I didn't answer, which I assume to be like, dude, you're dumb for not wanting Giannis on the team or whatever.
That's not a question.
The question as I go down was, Mark, when am I going to see you at AAU? And he does not mean like an AAU basketball game. He means Academy of Art University. I'll answer that. My class this semester is online only. So you're not going to see me on campus.
Oh.
Maybe in the fall. But no, I have not gotten my assignment yet. So, sorry to make that personal for a second, but the person said I suck. So you got to, you know, sports radio, you want a response. You tell somebody they suck. That's how you get a little, that's how you get action in this life.
There was another question from a different 408 number. He has not yet said that you or me or both of us suck, but he did ask a question. Can the Warriors go into the luxury tax again next season? Yes, they can.
Yes.
They could do it every year if they really want to. You just have penalties that pop up when you're a repeat offender. But they did duck out of it this year, and that's they can go right back into it next year.
They rebooted this season. And so I think that I don't know that they will. I think that there would be a total willingness to do it. I got to say, man, I really don't know what this offseason's going to look like. I really have not gotten a read yet on what's out there for the Warriors. But I'll say it this way, I guess. I believe they will be totally aggressive, yet not make what you think is a major move.
Hmm.
I think they will be very aggressive with the moves they think they need to make. And I don't think that they think that they need to make a major move, because I think that they think they already made their major move.
They did make their major
move.
There
you go. That's what I'm saying.
They found a co-star next to Steph. His name is Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he like the ideal co-star next to Steph that you'd want to lead you into the post-Steph years of this franchise? No, because he's pretty darn old as well. But you found a co-star next to Steph that you've been searching for ever since Klay Thompson tore his ACL in the 2019 NBA Finals. Like, you haven't had the co-star next to Steph since then. You also had Kevin Durant that year, but we also know he was hurt and then he didn't come back after that. You've been looking for that for a long time. The fact that they won a championship in 2022 without a legit co-star next to Steph is a damn miracle. Like, they have been looking ever since then. And you can give them credit for the Jimmy Butler acquisition or say that he kind of fell into their lap. However it happened, they now have their co-star next to Steph. The hard part is done. That's what Steve Kerr said on the Tolbert Show. And he said that multiple times. I think he and Mike Dunleavy also said something to that effect 2 weeks ago when they, you know, went through their end of season presser, their exit interviews.
Yep.
They said, the hard part is done. Now it is building the roster around what we currently have. And frankly, I look at how the season ended, Willard, and not just like the loss to the T-Wolves, but the end of the regular season when they went, 23-8 in their final 31 games once they acquired Jimmy Butler, once he officially debuted, 23-8. And they beat the number 2 seed in the first round. And yes, it took 7 games. And yes, there were frustrations there. You and Lucas both think that the Game 6 loss, which featured that 4-point play by Fred VanVleet to begin the fourth quarter, was like the end of it all because it led to Steph having to play another game, and maybe that led to the hamstring injury and yada, 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 resulted in their season ending in just the second round when maybe it could still be going on at this point. regardless of all of that, I think there is a mountain of evidence that suggests this team, which was put together before Jimmy Butler was acquired, which was kind of just a cobbled together piece of until Jimmy Butler got here. I think it's good enough with a couple of moves on the margin with the Jimmy Butler acquisition in mind away from legitimately competing. They were really close this year, and this was a roster that, again, was nothing until Jimmy Butler got here. And if you were to ask Steve Kerr and Mike Dunleavy and get an honest answer, do you feel like that roster you just had to end the season maximizes what Jimmy Butler brings to the floor? They would tell you no, there's not enough shooting. Jimmy Butler's at his best when he can drive and kick. And when teams have to decide, well, are we going to collapse on those Jimmy drives or are we going to hug the three-point shooters? The Warriors didn't have three-point shooters, so teams could collapse on Jimmy and not pay a price because those open threes were missing. You just get a couple of players that fit around Jimmy Butler, and you're going to be loads better. It's why I think we can stop living in this fantasy world of Giannis and trading away all these players and all these picks for Giannis. That's the only way the Warriors can win a championship next year? No. You have a really, really good group of players. You just need a piece or two that fit, and you will be right there competing.
I kind of wish you had just said that a lot slower and louder, so that the people in the back can hear you.
You can try it again. Ready? 3, 2.
That was really long.
Yeah,
do it slow,
baby. He's tired. No, he's tired.
Let me catch my breath.
No, he needs to. It's kind of like the beginning of the second quarter. He's going to go to the bench. We're going to bring in somebody else, give you a little breather. We'll get back to you in a second.
Are they really that far away?
Well, yeah.
Here, I mean,
let me re-summarize it in one sentence. A lot of you forget how good the Warriors were last year. That's all.
Or how bad they were, and then suddenly how
right,
good they were.
The way the season ended, there's two things that have happened. One, the way the season ended was so frustrating and deflating and happened so fast, where you're like, you beat the 2 seed, and then you grab game one, you're up on the road in round two. You're ahead. You have home court advantage. But then that's it. Steph leaves, and then 4 games later, the season's over. That's so frustrating and abrupt that I think it has left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And the other thing that's happened is seemingly about 42% of the fan base is completely distracted by a young player and a dramatic situation that we have just turned into the most polarizing thing in all of sports in the Bay Area this year. And it's really not fundamental to what the Warriors are doing right now. He might be a part of it, or he may turn into a player that becomes a part of it, and now they've got time to work on that, and they will. But the way they handled this during the season, while not perfect, I sort of see as understandable because of the injury, especially because of the injury. They were not granted time to figure this out at a higher level, and so they went with what they had, which was working. That's what everyone forgets. And so we've gotten distracted, we've gotten emotional, and we've gotten disappointed. And it has led to a fan base that I think, for many of you, you've forgotten that the Warriors, after the trade deadline, were the 2 seed in the West. They were fantastic. And yes, they're still old, and they will only be older next year, but they were fantastic. And I just, the nature of losing in the playoffs leads people to point to all of the things that they didn't like or that didn't work. But there were so many more that did. So many more things did work. And that's gotten lost in the shuffle.
And I feel like there's so many people out there, and maybe I'm making a vocal minority, the majority in my head, and you can let us know if you feel differently, but there's so many people who will say, yeah, I hear you. The group of Steph, Jimmy, and Dre, they were good, but you just can't win with a 37-year-old and 2 35-year-olds. And next year when the playoffs come around, a 38-year-old and 2 36-year-olds. And you might be right. You might be right, but this Warrior team has always been very fragile. If you don't have Steph, you have nothing. That has like almost always been the reality. Maybe other than a year or two when Kevin Durant was here and you survived the series without Steph. But you weren't winning anything beyond a first round series versus the Portland Trailblazers or whatever it was without Steph. Always, 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 you were a Steph injury away from your season being over.
Well,
and that's still true. And now it's more likely now because, yes, he's going to be 38 the time the playoffs come around next year.
For sure.
But what is your best avenue to being good? It is still Steph. So as long as Steph is still on your team, which he will be until he retires, you're going to be a fragile team.
I don't disagree with you, but I also think that because – this is the team we follow. We sort of brand them as that. And I don't
as
think
what?
As fragile.
Well, they are, but so is every team.
There you go. That's what I'm getting at. Nobody doesn't live in that reality. Nobody. The Pacers are dead if Halliburton gets hurt. They're dead. They're absolutely dead. The Thunder, as good and deep as they are, they're dead if Shea gets hurt.
Well, imagine the Wolves without Ant.
Wolves without Ant. And
Nuggets
and,
without Jokic.
Right. You're dead.
And Bucks without Giannis.
I accept that. And I know it's tough. It's tough to watch the franchise walk off the court when, like, nothing even happened.
Knicks without Brunson.
Guys just running down the court. Like, super frustrating to have that much on the line. And that's it. It's like, there he goes. And scene. Right? But, like, and I know Boston won a game without. I'm not saying you can't win a game, but you can't function at a high level. You can't go win in the playoffs when you lose your guy. That's just the reality of the NBA. It's very, very akin, in my mind, to when an NFL team loses their quarterback.
You want to know what I heard?
You'll give me examples, Hostetler and Foles, you'll do that. So it's allowed, but it is highly unlikely. It is very rare that you can still function when you lose your guy.
I heard a little bit of, well, OKC's so good, even if Shea wasn't on the team, they're still going to the finals.
No, they'd be still go to the playoffs.
They'd be in the playoffs.
But no, they're not going to the finals.
Not even close.
Denver would have killed them without Shea. Killed them. They almost beat him anyway. Let's go to Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, Mark and Mark. Mark with a C and Mark with a K.
Very good.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say, man, I kind of totally agree with you, Mark. I don't want to, Mark with a K, I don't want to mortgage the future for Giannis because I'm not even a basketball guy. And, you know, Giannis is not an unstoppable force. You could kind of form a wall in front of him and he can't shoot from the outside. Put him in the free throw line, he can't shoot free throws. What I want him to do is make some upgrades and also kind of find a way, you know, be dig deep in their four-time champion genius and find a way to utilize Kuminga. Kuminga should be their workhorse next year in the regular season because your core is kind of old. So figure out a way to make Kuminga, that 23-year-old athletic guy, be the workhorse in the regular season and also upgrade on a few positions.
Hey,
look at the Looney. Huh?
Yeah, Jonathan, can I challenge you on something? Because I would just love, like, I hear you, but here's what I want to know. When we say that to a team, it's kind of like if your boss – and, you know, came to you and was just like, figure out a way to turn a pancake into a vegetable. Like, how are you doing that? Figure out a way for Jonathan Kuminga to be your workhorse in the regular season and then suddenly morph into something else in the playoffs that leans back in to Steph and Jimmy Butler, even though all three of them need kind of to have the ball in their hand. How do you do that?
I don't know, Mark. I'm not a basketball guy. That's why I'm asking the four-time champion brains of the Warriors because they're the basketball people. They just I don't want that 4 years with Kuminga to just go down the drain. You know what I mean? They already made an investment, so try to figure out a way and then make some like Looney. Try to find a way to upgrade in the Looney position because you can't have three non-offensive threats in a game anymore. You know, you're looking at the OKCs and the Pacers. You cannot be a top-heavy team in the NBA right now. Look at the Pacers and the OKC. They're deep, man. They're about 10 deep, those two teams. And you look at the top-heavy teams, they didn't even make it past the first round, the Clippers, You know, Suns didn't even make it in the playoffs. And you got the Lakers, they didn't make it past the first round. So top heavy is not the way to go. But, yeah, I trust the Warriors, man. And let's go Warriors.
Okay, Jonathan, thanks. I like, from a conceptual standpoint, I totally feel what he's saying. But I don't think that what he's asking for, quite frankly, is possible. We can say, oh, the Warriors are the basketball people. It's their job to figure it out. Not all, like, this isn't math. Not every equation has an answer. You can't just come up with something and be like, do this. And they're like, okay, like, we'll do it. Like, that, I don't know how we lean into a player in the regular season and lean into somebody else in the playoffs and blend all these people together who actually all need the ball in their hand when there's only one ball. Like, there's a way for Kuminga and Butler and Steph to all play together, but I don't think there's a way to start changing who the workhorse is throughout the season. You have to use the season to be who you're going to be so that you're at your absolute height when you get to the playoffs, I feel.
It is something that Steve Kerr said a couple of weeks ago. If Kuminga is on the roster next year, they're going to spend a lot more time, at least early in the season, trying to find ways to make Kuminga work alongside Steph and alongside Jimmy specifically.
Yep.
And, well, first of all, I mean, it's kind of a given. They have to. And you opened our talking about the Warriors. You were setting the table for your ludicrous Giannis take by saying, I hope that Kuminga's on the roster next year.
That's right, because I don't think there's a huge trade to be made.
And I'll just say, if Kuminga's on the roster next year, they better find a way to play him.
I agree with that.
But
what I'm sort of like flagging here with what Jonathan said is lean into him as your workhorse.
Yeah.
You're not making Jonathan the one. Jonathan, like, there needs to be, and this is what everybody in this conversation leaves out. Steve's got to figure out a way to play Jonathan, and Jonathan's got to figure out a way to play with Steve. Period. This has to be a meet in the middle. Has to be a meet in the middle.
Yes, I agree with you. But in terms of if we zoom out and maybe zoom away from Jonathan's call a little bit, when we just take a larger view on the Warriors and how they can improve and how they can change their roster, it is very obvious whether it is Kuminga being on the roster and playing more and fitting more, or if it's Kuminga not being on the roster and fetching them something else. Kuminga is the pathway for the Warriors to improve next year, one way or another. Like, that is the most logical way to happen. So if Kuminga is on the roster, you cannot have a repeat of what the last 2 months of the regular season was. When he's healthy and he's hardly playing, and then in the postseason he's getting DNPs.
Well,
you cannot have that
anymore. I agree
anymore.
With you. And I'll give you a financial reason for that, too.
Well, he's going to cost a whole lot more next year.
There you go. You cannot spend, and I have no, like, I literally have
even if
no
it's 20
idea.
Million, that's a whole lot more.
I mean, maybe it might even be less than that. Like, if Brooklyn is, and reportedly not that interested, I don't know what kind of leverage he has to command a big number, but whatever. Even if it's 15, you can't sign someone to a contract like that for a number of years planning to DNP him. I agree with you 100%.
You're right about the money, but even if the money was veteran minimum, you have a player who is young and maybe doesn't have like an insane amount of value around the league. We're talking specifically about the Nets because they're the only team that has enough space to offer him more than $15 million a year. If every team in the league had cap space, Kuminga would have a pretty robust market.
Like, I agree.
He has interest around the league.
For sure.
And the Nets, while the report from Slater is that they're not actively preparing an offer sheet for Kuminga, they are willing to be a contributor in a multi-team trade, and they're utilizing their cap space to make a trade work somewhere else. And there will be pathways for Kuminga to get on a different team by virtue of that Nets cap space. My only point is, if Kuminga is on the Warriors roster, it is absolutely terrible, pitiful asset management if what happened this past year happens again.
Agreed. I think the Warriors agree with you. To me, that all whittles down to time. And Steve said that directly to us. What they would have going into next year with Jonathan, if he's on the team, is time. And they did not have that.
A leeway to experiment.
Correct.
A little bit.
And a training camp and preseason games and less urgency in early regular season games. All of that stuff. Let's go to David in Novato. David, next up here on Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Dibs. Hi, David. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, y'all. First of all, I want to mimic everything you're saying. The team is there, right? It's a motion offense. We are best when Steph's off the ball. That's when we get one-on-one with Kuminga. We get pods. Look at the data. Pods, shooting percentage went super down when Steph was not in the game, right? So with time gone, with Jimmy knowing a game plan where he can attack and not going for layups and pushing that balls and not taking those easy buckets, and then we have a team that we put the pieces in the place to actually hit these shots and make these easy plays, things will move. If you go back to the early ages of when we were successful, we had the ball moving, having easy buckets. I think that is actually an easy opportunity with the team we have. We just have to have some people that will go in and get buckets. That's the thing that's getting me, guys.
Well, and I get that, but at the same time, David, appreciate it. I mean, we all have that sort of feeling when you look at it, especially when Steph is either not on the floor or is being, you know, guarded by an Amen Thompson or something like that, and that Warrior offense feels like it just stops and there's nobody who can go get a bucket. I just think that there's a little bit more philosophy and complexity to how an NBA team goes about trying to get a bucket. And what I hear often, and you know, talking with everybody here at 95.7 and all of our callers, the way we watch basketball is sort of the same way we play playground basketball. And it's just like, dude, it's the ball and the ha-ha and the bucket. Right. And that's not how NBA teams do it. So even if you stuck five ha-has out there, I think you're going to stink. Like, I think you're going to stink. You have to have a strategy in terms of how you attack an NBA defense. And so it's not just as simple. That's why I have bought all year into this concept of things need to fit. You can't just say Jonathan can get buckets, therefore gets to be on the floor. Spacing matters. Penetration matters. Strategy matters. The way that a defense is sort of strategically going at you, you need to be able to break that down with X's and O's and intelligence and all of those things. And then those five players who are out there, that has to all fit together. It's not just give me five guys who can score and therefore they will. So I think that's what led us down this road.
It's also just like individual matchups.
Totally.
Like team on team. Like, why were the Nuggets a much better matchup for the Thunder? Or Nuggets were matched up better with the Thunder than the Wolves did. Because the Nuggets have Jokic, and he's not bothered by the wing defenders of the Nuggets like Anthony Edwards was. Can't be bothered because he's a seven-footer who can pass. Like, it's just... So much of basketball isn't just, like, it's the strategy for a team, and it's the plan and the style of your offense and all that, but it's also just, like, what team are you playing? And how do you match
no
up?
Doubt. No
and
doubt.
Is X player going to be played off the court because the opposing team has X, Y, and Z, and they can disturb that player with this length and athleticism? Okay, well, then we're going to go away from that player for this series.
888-957-9570. We're heading into the last hour of the week. 888-957-9570. I'm out on Giannis to the Warriors. Maybe not for the exact reason that you'd think if it sounds like that. I think he's wonderful. I think you get your hands on him if you can. I just don't think the Warriors can. It does not make sense at this time. So 888-957-9570, more on that. Plus, we can circle back to the news of the day, which is the 49ers and Eagles getting together on a trade. And if you did not hear the details of that, we'll have that for you coming up next. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. With Grandy here, this is Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.